for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. And I'll ask those that are able to kneel with me as we pray. Father in heaven, thank you first for being with us today. I thank you also for life and for the plan of salvation that you and your Son and your Spirit are continually working on with us. Father, thank you for each person here, and I pray for each family represented. I pray for those who are not here. Watch over them. I lift our congregation's needs up to you. And we heard some of those earlier today in prayer requests, and we want to bring those requests to you yet again. Father, I pray for Robin that you'll speak through him, that he'll be your mouthpiece today, and that we will hear the words you've placed upon his heart, that we will grow in our relationship with you. I pray that the small groups and the classes that we're beginning to start will be blessed, and that you will be glorified in them, and that not only will we grow in our relationship with you because of them, but that knowledge of you will expand across the valley. Thank you again for your grace and for your Son's sacrifice. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much. So, where is your future home? Well, temporarily, it'll be in heaven at first 1,000 years. But permanently, it's going to be on the earth made new. And who paid the price for that future home for us? Jesus. He paid the price because we couldn't. There's no way that we could have paid for it. And who has invited each of us to live in that new home forever? Again, it's Jesus. He invites each one of us to live there with him forever. And of course, who's trying to keep us from getting there? It's Lucifer. He hates Jesus and he hates us. Because Jesus loves us so much. I'd like to ask you to bow your heads for just a moment as I offer a beginning prayer. Father, I ask that your voice be heard today instead of mine. I ask for Jesus' blood to cover all of us because we are all sinners and we can't save ourselves. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will keep each one of us focused only on you. Change us today. To be more like Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, and your will be done. Amen. I hope you don't mind, I'm going to get a little personal today. I have a problem. I have a weight problem. And I think I've had it all my life. I think it's genetic because my mother also has a weight problem. And sorry, Mom, I love you, but... And I didn't think at first when I got married that my wife had a weight problem, but she does too. Love you, sweetie. And actually, to be perfectly honest, I think part of my weight problem is because of my wife. Well, I'd like to ask you, how many of you are brave enough to say you have a weight problem? Okay, more of you than I thought would raise your hands. Good. You can probably relate by what happens when you take children on a long trip. And all they start saying things like, "Are we there yet? How long is this going to take? And I'm tired. Can't we stop?" They have a weight problem. I was that way. My children were that way. My grandchildren are that way. And you probably were as a child. And if you have children or had children, you probably had the same problem. Well, the average American spends 5 years waiting in lines. Now, that's 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, for 5 full years. That's a long time to be waiting. I think my wife believes that when we go to the grocery store, and if there's going to be, you know, there's several lines out there, if I choose the line, if there's going to be a problem, I'm going to pick the line that has the problem. Yeah, see, she's nodding her head. She agrees. And I do this consistently. I don't know how I am able to divine which of these lines is going to have a problem, but it seems that I'm always able to pick out the right one. But, you know, being held up in a line, that's a minor problem. You know, I just think I need to have a little more patience. Lord's working on me. How about traffic? Most of us drive around in traffic. Did you know that the average American spends an hour a week in traffic jams? Now, of course, there are people who spend a lot more than that, those that live in big cities and commute a lot. I've done that. But the average American spends about an hour every week in a traffic jam or in traffic. So that adds up to 52 hours in a year. In the average life, believe it or not, that's over 4,000 hours, which translates into 173 days, which is basically 6 months. We're just a week short of 6 months. So we spend a lot of time in traffic jams. And now I'd like to talk to you about the worst traffic jam I have ever been in. You may have been in one worse than this. But first, I need to know, do you remember where you were on August 21st, 2017? I will never forget that day for two reasons. Here's a clue. What were you doing between about 10 and 10:30 on that particular day? Oh, you were looking up. My sister, of course, remembers because I was at her house. Maybe this will help you. This is the picture I took on August 21st, 2017, at 10:19 in the morning. That was the day of the solar eclipse. Now, this is a map of Oregon. This is Central Point where I live. And this is Antelope, where my sister lives. And she happened to be living right in the path of totality. And so I asked her if I could come up and spend a couple of days with her and see the eclipse from her front yard, which is exactly what I did. Now, the distance between the two is about 246 miles. It takes about 4.5 hours to drive one way or the other, and that's what I did. I drove up there. I left Antelope at 10:30. Just after the eclipse, I thought, you know, if I get on the road right away, I'm going to miss the traffic. Bad decision. That black arrow shows how far I got before I hit traffic. I got about a half an hour down the road. Most of that was on a little side road from Antelope out to 97. I hit traffic about 5 miles north of Madras. Now, this is Chemult. And the distance between those two arrows is 112 miles. On the way up to my sister's, it took me 2 hours. Just whizzed on through, no problem at all. On the way back, I spent more than 13 and a half hours. I averaged 8 miles per hour for 13 and a half hours. There were times I doubted whether I was going to make it. You know, other people were doing all kinds of things. People would get out of their cars, they'd walk down the highway, and then when their car caught up with them, they'd get back in. People were going out and hiding behind bushes and trees and things like that. It was amazing. Every side road was jammed with cars trying to get on this one highway. 112 miles, 13 and a half hours. There was one spot where I sat for half an hour. We didn't move an inch. Found out later it was because there was an accident up ahead. But you know what? During all of that time, I never, ever doubted that I would make it home. I was delayed. There were problems along the way. Sometimes it seemed like it was never going to happen. Waiting, 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 looking at the taillights of the car ahead of me. Spent 13 and a half hours making sure I didn't run into their back end. You know, you'd move a few feet. Literally, you'd move a few feet and then you'd stop. Car length, maybe two. Once in a while, we would move maybe 100 yards. You know, it was incredible. As I was thinking about this, it reminded me of my life and waiting for Jesus to come. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receiveth the early and the latter rain. You know, we've got to have patience. And I know I, in my life, haven't had a lot of patience, and the Lord has put me in positions where I've had to learn a lot of patience. And I thank the Lord for that. There's some things that I really don't like to wait for. You know, most of them are fairly quick punishment. You know, as a kid, I never looked forward to punishment. And even as an adult, I don't like to be scolded and stuff. You never look forward to that. I don't care for slow drivers, traffic lights, you know, slow lines in the stores, pain. I don't know how many of you ever had a kidney stone. The worst pain I've ever felt was 5 hours over here at Rogue Valley waiting for them to give me something to get rid of my pain for my kidney stone. It seemed like it was going to be forever. And I can remember lying there curled up in a little ball. And in my mind, I kept thinking, just wait. It's going to go away. You're going to live through this. You know. But at the moment, it didn't feel like it. Because it was all consuming, this pain. But I did. I survived. I'm here. You know, I lived through it. And of course, we usually don't like to wait for our rewards. We like to have our rewards right away. And here's some things that I think can be fun to wait for. Birthdays. Today is my birthday. You know? I've been waiting for this for 71 years. And, of course, my mother was there, too. So I thank her for that. But, you know, holidays, we like holidays, vacations, family visiting. And sometimes it is nice to wait for a reward, to anticipate that and to think about it. And here are some things that I have waited a long time for. I waited a long time to grow up. At least it seemed like it at the time. What? Oh, hasn't happened yet. Okay. Sorry. I know my wife at times. When are you ever going to grow up? Yeah, but anyway, as far as the world's concerned, I finally did grow up. School to end, you know? Believe it or not, I was in school for 20 years. I was a slow learner, but I graduated from college after 20 years. To get married, yes. To have my first job, yes. To have a family, three beautiful children, my wife, to retire. It seemed like that was never going to happen, and some people aren't sure I have retired yet. I subbed last week for two 2 days. And if the girls win tonight, I'll be subbing 4 days this next week. But, these are all important things. And some of you have waited for all of these things too. And some of you have some of these things to wait for yet. I was 14. Lived in San Francisco. Was invited over to a friend's house on Sabbath afternoon. After lunch, we sat down and started talking. And I don't remember what prompted the conversation, whether it was something that had happened at church or whether we just, got on the topic. But we started talking about the end of the world. Living in San Francisco as a 14-year-old, I thought the world was about to come to an end. I didn't know how it could get any worse than it already was. But that was 57 years ago. I never thought I would do any of these things. I never thought that I would live to grow up. We actually said these things. I'll never have a child. I will never get married. I will never have a full-time job. I'll never retire. But all of those things have happened. And all of that time, I have been waiting for the Lord to come. And at times, I have to confess that it was hard. There were times that I thought, he's never going to come. I should just give up. Forget about it. But there were two things that kept me going. Family and friends were always important and kept me going. But personally, there were two things. And it was the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. Reading the Bible, reading the spirit of prophecy, looking at what God had provided for me to encourage me and to tell me that he loves me, he cares for me, that he is coming. And even though it's taken a long time, I've been waiting a long time, he is still going to come. Let not your heart be troubled. This is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I'd like to take a couple of minutes, look at some of our Bible characters, our heroes, and people that we think about in the Bible frequently, and the fact that they had to wait too. How long did Adam have to wait for the Messiah to come? Well, the Bible tells us in Genesis 5:5 that all the days of Adam were 930 years and he died. So, did he see the Messiah come? Well, yes and no. Our first impression is no, because he died and, the Lord hasn't come yet. Ellen White tells us that in vision, he saw the Lord come. That God took him and showed him the future. He's done that with a number of people we know of. He did that with Moses. He did that with Enoch. Preach a sermon about that a few months ago. John the Revelator, Daniel, God showed them the future, what was going to happen. And so they knew that. And he showed it to Adam. So even though Adam is long dead, he did see and he does believe. And if he hasn't been resurrected at Jesus' first coming, he will be at his second. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. To the soul that seeketh him, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And that's something I have a hard time with, waiting patiently, quietly. I want things to happen. I like things to happen. And that's a little difficult for me. How about Noah? How long did he wait for the flood to come? That was our text that we read today. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. yet his days shall be 120 years. So it was a prophecy that it was going to be 120 years, and then they were going to die. The flood was coming. And so Noah spent the 120 years building the ark and preaching about it and telling people. He had to wait that 120 years for the flood to come. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. And Abraham, we talk about him frequently. How long did he have to wait for his son? Well, we're told in Genesis 12:4 that he was 75 years old when the Lord made that promise to him. And he was 100 years old when his son was born, the son of promise. So he waited 25 years for that. And he never thought it would happen. Of course, he was 100 then. His wife was 90. Physically, it was impossible. But the Lord made it happen. And he had his son. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And Moses, how long did he wait to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? He was 80 years old when he spoke to Pharaoh. And during that first 80 years, many things had happened, of course. He'd spent a lot of that time in Egypt learning to be a leader, and then in Midian learning how to be patient and to follow. And when he finally was called, he didn't want to go. He says, hey, you know, it's been too long. But the Lord said, no. Now is the right time. So he had to wait for the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. How long did the world wait for the Messiah to be born? Well, about 4,000 years is what we believe. How long did the disciples wait for that outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost? From when Jesus ascended to that was 10 days. And of course, what were they doing during those 10 days? And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room and they continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. We need to be praying. We need to be studying. We need to be, as we wait, there are things for us to do. They can prepare us for the coming of the Lord. And how long has the world waited for the second coming of Jesus? About 2,000 years. What is it? 2019. And Jesus was crucified in 29 AD. So that was 1,990 years ago. So about 2,000 years. We've been waiting. And how long have Adventists been waiting? From 1844, when the great Advent movement started, it's been 175 years this year. So October 22 this year will be 175 years since the great disappointment. We've been waiting for the Lord to come. We don't know why the delay, but God hasn't really delayed anything. It's just our perception of that. The date was set. God knows when he's coming. We don't. It's like when I was driving from my sister's back home. I didn't know when I was going to get there. I got there at 2:30 in the morning. But I did. I got there. And the Lord will come. He is a man of his word. He has promised to come. He will come. Now, I'd like to ask the deacons if they would pass out the connect cards. And if you would fill them out, there are some questions on there. The first question is, you know, I have a weight problem. You may not. Most of us do. Most of us have a weight problem. I definitely have a weight problem. But we are waiting for something important. We know it's coming. and we plan to be ready when we get there. The second one is, I'm waiting for Jesus to come. How many of you are waiting for Jesus to come? Amen. He's promised that he's going to come. He is faithful. He always keeps his promises. And the third one is, I'm preparing to meet Jesus while I'm waiting. There are things that you can do. You can study the word. You can pray. You can talk to others. You can spread the word, because there's so many out there that don't know about Jesus. It amazes me how many people, even in the United States, have never read their Bibles. And some may never have even heard the name of Jesus other than as a cuss word. The biggest decision that you will make in life is what you're going to do with Jesus. Are you going to accept him as your Savior, or are you going to reject his invitation of eternal life? And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Very, very soon, we're going to see Jesus coming in the clouds of heaven with all of his angels. I want to be ready. I want each one of you to be ready. So we need to be faithful as we wait for the Lord to come. Let's pray. Father, we are waiting for Jesus to come. And while we wait, we want to know you better. We know that the entire universe is waiting for the second coming of Jesus. We know that you are anxious to come. Keep us in your hand until that day. In Jesus' name we pray, and your will be done. Amen.